I want to thank publicly right now NCSY and Camp Ask for bringing Richard in, and most importantly, for Richard himself. You know, some of us sleepless keeps us up at night or up and awake, and in the hours it's not so clear what time zone we're in. And for Judah, he's also, on top of all of that, he's also in another time zone. And I've heard that Judah shares with all of us, and the impact that he has on all of us cannot be stated in words. On a personal level, I have a deep amount of the Karsatov to Judah for a lot, including for coming here tonight. Without further ado, Tanu Kabbalah Torah, Judah Hashem.
Okay, Erev Tov, everybody. All right. Nice to see everyone. This is very beautiful. This is a really beautiful thing. Late at night, learning Torah during Slichas time. I guess if it's not happening now, at this time of the year, it's not happening, you know? This is the time everybody kind of throws down and gets serious. So thank you for including me in that. Thank you, Rabbi Bernstein. Thank you to everybody who put this together. God knows what 11 o'clock would look like for me if I weren't here to share Divrei Torah. So thank you for being mezakami, to not be, playing on my phone or whatever else might be happening at this time. And Ashrei Matov Chelkeinu that we're here and we're trying. The minute by me is on Mondays, it's Reb Mendel Mondays. Reb Mendel Futterfass. Anybody? Reb Mendel Futterfass? Does that name resonate? I'm looking around. I'm trying to check for understanding. You guys know where Mendel Futterfass was, or should I tell you who it was? Let's see. Anybody? I have to tell you this. Now I feel good. No? Mendel Futterfass. Zeicher Tzadik Levracha. You know Mendel. You heard the name, yeah? So give me some feedback here. Mendel Futterfass, Zeicher Tzadik Levracha, had the title Chassid. The Lubavitcher Rebbe called him Chassid. A lot of Hasidim around the Rebbe. He was one who merited that title. He went through Siberia. He suffered terribly. Incredible Mesiras Nefesh. And held himself a Pashat Yid. But he was the primary Mashpia in Chabad. 1970s, 80s. In Eretz Israel and Kfar Chabad and in 770. So someone asked Reb Mendel, where did you learn to be such an Eved Hashem? Reb Mendel said, an Eved Hashem. He said, I'll tell you who is an Eved Hashem. There's a Jew named Shai Shapira who I knew when I was a young man in Chabad, in Russia. He said, and Shai Shapira used to daven a 2-hour Shmona Esrei. 2 hours Shmona Esrei. Every single day. He was an Eved Hashem. And I once asked Reb Shaya, how did you become such an Eved Hashem? How did you get so connected to the Avod of Tefillah that you lock in and you go to town for 2 hours each time? So I said, I had a very hard time davening, like many of us. I had a hard time being consistent. I had a hard time paying attention. I had a hard time feeling something. I had a hard time getting things moving. So I went to speak to the Maharash, the fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe, Shmuel, the Rebbe Maharash. And as I was sitting there telling him, Rebbe, I don't know, I don't understand sometimes the davening, I don't get the philosophical construct of davening, I'm trying to understand, am I davening to change God's will, am I davening to like improve myself? The Rebbe Maharash just jumped out of his chair, grabbed me by the lapels of my kapota, pulled it open, pulled my jacket wide open, and pointed right into my chest and said, Shaila, thine heart. And he told Reb Mendel, I don't know what happened, but since then, I'm wide open. Since then, all I want to do is daven all day. Okay, so I'm not Reb Mendel Futterfass, and I certainly not Reb Maharash. But I hope that tonight we'll be able to, in some proverbial way, in some metaphoric way, open ourselves up a little bit. I hope that we'll be able to share Dvar Mayotzim and Alev, words that'll come from the heart at least, to be able to try and take advantage of the special opportunity that we have tonight to say Slichos. I hope also I won't go for 2 hours. There are many mnemonic devices that Chazal employ to try to get to the core of what Elul is all about, the opportunity, the spiritual opportunity of what these days are and what they represent. Yilodoti v'dodi li, yinol yod v'samte l'chamakom. Of all of them, whose purpose is to really orient us and kind of direct us as to what is most, you know, should be at the forefront of our mind. Well, the pasuk can say for Devarim, Umal Hashem es levavcha, and God will literally remove the outer layer of the heart, remove the foreskin of the heart, perform a circumcision on the outer layer of that which is covering our heart. Umal Hashem es levavcha, ve'es levav zarecha. Hashem will remove that which is blocking our hearts, as well remove that which is blocking the hearts of our children. Rabbi Nachman explains in Torah Kuf Mem Aleph. I'm not assuming that anybody knows like the Torah, but Torah Kuf Mem Aleph, Rabbeinu spends a lot of time trying to understand this Torah. Zaracha doesn't just mean our offspring, our children. Zaracha means anything that might be able to come from me. In other words, every person, every human being has potential. We have kochos ha-nefesh, we have abilities, that which we could accomplish intellectually, that we could accomplish artistically, that we could accomplish in our midos and our involvement in the world. When that comes, me'akoch el ha-pa'ol, when that comes from inside out, that's called zaracha. Does it mean literally children? But potential that has been brought out into the world or not. Or not. These are times, these are days, Rabbi Nachman says, our focus ought to be on that which we can bring out into the world, that which we have brought out into the world, b'mificha, b'vavcha, l'asoso, that which words we said this year, feelings that we had, ritzonos, desires to do good, all the actions and choices that we made that brought light into the world, that were marbek kvod shamayim in the world. And as well, at the same time, part of the cheshbon nefesh, part of the introspection, is to think about those children, so to speak, that offspring that could have been brought into the world, to a world of kedusha, to life, that didn't quite make it, that potential that went unfulfilled. Slichos is a time for us to think a little bit about what went right and maybe where we fell a little bit short. The refrain that we say over and over again in our Slichos that we keep coming back to, the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. And the revelation of these Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, these 13 attributes of mercy, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham, Vachanun, are revealed in the context of a very painful, very embarrassing sugya, Chayta Egel. My Rebbe, Mori V'Rabbi Rav Kluger, doesn't say Cheta Egel. It's too embarrassing. Because of the honor of the Jewish people, we shouldn't talk about things that happen that are embarrassing, that are hurtful. It's painful to remember such an episode. You just say a remez to it. He won't even say Chet Ayin. Sometimes just say Ayin Gimel. And every time he says it, it breaks my heart. Because it's a really hard time. Klal Yisrael is by the mountain. Hashem is literally revealing His love for the Jewish people. We are in the midst of becoming this chosen nation. We're receiving our why, our purpose. Shlomo Melech describes it as a metaphor of the chuppah. B'yom chatunato, b'yom simchat libo. That's Matan Torah. There's a chasen, there's a kala, Hashem and Am Yisrael. Kodesh Brich Hu Shechinteh. The Bona Shalom is giving us a ksuba, the Torah. And in the midst of all of that, while Hashem is giving us this ktuba, Chasan and Kala, Libavtini v'achas me'inayich, Shlomo Melech says in Shir HaShirim, You love me with one of your eyes. Rabbeinu explains what that means is that imagine the bride coming down to the chuppah, to the chasen, and he's looking at her with one eye, and the other eye he already has looking at the bridesmaids. He's checking out someone else. Rachman al-Islam. That was chet ha'egel. That was ayin gimel. This terrible betrayal, this painful, horrific nightmare scenario where it's about to happen and we drop the ball completely, we're unfaithful, and it's really that bad. Hashem says, I'm breaking it off. I'm not going through with this. If this is what's happening at the chuppah, we're not going through with this. Caterer was booked, the music was there, the guests were already there, everything was happening, the flowers was there, the benches printed. Hashem said, I'm done. We destroy them. Hashem turns to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, finished. This is what I should do this? And Moshe said, hold on, there's a promise you made. You made a promise to the Avos HaKadoshim and the Imaos that there's going to be a nation that's chosen. You're going to reveal the Torah, the purpose of the world. You know, the purpose of creation is going to unfold through them. So Hashem tells Moshe, forget them, I'll start again with you. We'll hit the refresh button. I'm not walking down the aisle with these people. They're dancing around a molten idol at the foot of Har Sinai. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the tzaddik, whose soul is iterated and refracted in every one of us and in every generation, there's the koach of the tzaddik that's standing up for the Jewish people, that's breathing wind into the sails, that's standing up before Hashem and saying, don't give up. There's no such thing as giving up. Moshe Rabbeinu begins a back and forth through Ribono Shel Olam and says, no. If you're getting rid of them, you're getting rid of me too. Incredible Mesiras Nefesh. And there's a back and forth. Finally, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu relents and says, okay, here's what's going to happen. Avir kol tuvi al panecha, I'm going to pass over you. You're going to go back up the mountain. You're going to go into the mountain. You're going to daven. You're going to pray. Hashem tells Moshe, you're going to go in there on behalf of the Jewish people. Lefnai v'lefnim. And when I pass over, karasi b'shem Hashem, v'chanosi es asher achon, v'richamti es asher rachim, words that we're going to say throughout this next period of time until at the end of Yom Kippur. And Hashem says, I'm going to do my thing. I'll have compassion if I'll have compassion. I'll have mercy where I have mercy. Vayomer Hashem, hinei makom iti. Hashem tells Moshe, your place is with me. V'nitzavta al hatsur. And just come up to the mountain. Vayabavor kvodi, when my honor, so to speak, when my presence passes over in that place, when I'm revealed there. V'samticha benikras hatsur. Go into that little rocky crag. You're on the mountain, I'm passing over. You're not going to see my face, so to speak. You're going to see me from behind. V'samticha benikras hatsur. Just lodge yourself into that mountain. Imagine you're on a tiul. I don't know, you're going some hike in the Sartaba or something like that, in Engedi. All those little crags, those little cracks in the mountain you can get lost in. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, just go in there. Just go inside of that place. V'sakosi kapay alecha. No one should come with you. It's just you. No one else. Kadosh Baruch Hu is spelling out, so to speak, the pathway to tshuva. That's what Chazal tell us from this whole episode. Go on your own. Ish lo ya'aleimach. It's on you. Come with me. Stand on top of the mountain. And when I give you the signal and I manifest my presence, just go inside, Nikra Satsur. It's a very descriptive, very wordy, like there's a lot of detail over here. And then Moshe Rabbeinu goes up there, and Hashem instructs him to go on the mountain. You're going to go make Luchos Avanim. You're going to go make another set of tablets. Vayered Hashem ba'anan. Hashem comes down, so to speak, and His presence is expressed in a cloud. Vayisyatzev. Imo sham, vayikra b'shem Adonai. Then we review. Hashem reveals the Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim. Hashem Hashem kil rachem v'chanam. V'salach de lavoneinu v'nechatan v'chasad. Our entire Slichos liturgy, the core of it, comes from within this episode. Real aveira, real chet, like real aveira. Meshech Chachma says that this is, in all of the Torah, the headquarters for all alienation between a collective community and God. Mechiras Yosef represents like the nuclear core of pirud between people, division between people. Chet Ayin Gimel represents the ultimate pirud, separation between Am Yisrael and Hashem. And it's from there that these Yud Gimel Midas HaRachem that we're going to say tonight over and over and over again, and from now, this week, through the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, all the way to the end of Yom Kippur, over and over and over again. A number of you here have had this conversation with, have had this dibur with, about feeling like trying to find one's place in the world. Where do I fit in? Whether it's like, you know, in Israel, in Eretz Israel, in seminary, or connected to like one type of community or teacher or derech, and then kind of come here and it's like, well, that's not really, doesn't really have that over here necessarily. And trying to fit into another place. Where do I spend Shabbos that it's going to be meaningful? Where do I find like an experience of tefillah or Torah that I'm going to connect with and feel like I can grow? Like a sense of placelessness. Sometimes one feels that way because like we're embarrassed of our mistakes. We feel like I'm not living up to my potential. I'm not bringing out, so to speak, offspring from my potential. I'm not producing. I'm not davening the way I used to. I'm not learning the way I used to. I'm not careful with this. Shmiras HaLashon the way I used to. I'm not careful with this. Benching from inside the way I used to. Whatever it may be. And we kind of feel alienated. We feel separated. Placeless. Hashem said, Hinei makom iti. Your place is with me. Just go into the Nikras Hatsur. Whatever happened, if you feel isolated or alone or separated from me or in some way that you've abrogated our covenant or fallen short of your expectations or disappointed me, the Ribbono Shalom says, it's okay, we're still together. Just come up on the mountain. When I pass over, go into the mountain and then Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. Rabbi Yol Kan, was Lubavitcher Rabbi's Chozer. He was his Meniach. That means his place in the world, his job in the world was to sit by every Fabrengen and every Mimer, and there's no one in contemporary Jewish history who said as much Torah, besides did as much revolutionary activity and changed the world in such a significant way, like the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Besides all of that, the Rebbe, there's no one who produced just the amount of Torah that the Rebbe did. I mean, it's not a contest. There's no second place. And Rabbi Yol Kan was a man in his 90s. His Camp Gan Yisrael. You know where Gan Yisrael is? Right off exit 99. Sometimes the radio frequencies between Hask and Gan Yisrael get crisscrossed. Literally the camp next door, same Erev. Right past is the Lubavitcher camp there. Rabbi Yol Kan comes every summer. So every summer I go to say Shalom Aleichem. See, he's a man in his 90s. His job was, he literally sat by the Lubavitcher Rebbe every time the Rebbe spoke and memorized every single word of the Rebbe's Fabrengens and Mamarim. There's a whole group of people. Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson was one of those people. He would sit there, a whole group of guys would memorize what the Rebbe said. Afterwards, they'd all write it down. Shabbos, Yontif, you know, and record things. They'd write it down. Each one their own version. They'd all put it together, edit it together. Then they'd give it to Rabbi Yol Kan. And he would sit there and add in the words that they missed and the makoros that they missed. Then they'd give it to the Rebbe. The Rebbe would look it over, edit it, give it back to Rabbi Yol Kan. He's like the one. He was the gatekeeper. Parenthetical. This is a little biographical sketch. He's a Jew. He's alive today. He lives in our generation today. Rabbi Yol Kan shared a beautiful pshat in the Alter Rebbe. I think about it all the time. Did anybody here ever do the hike in Sartaba in Eretz Yisrael? It's on, there's two, I'm not that I'm like being weird. I know that two of the seminaries went on Sartab. I know because there's a guy in my neighborhood who was like the tour guiding. I'm like, I asked him any good ideas I could take my kids. He goes, oh, take them to the Sartaba. It's a great hike. I'm like, okay, I did the Sartaba with them. I'm like, you know what? I'll do it again. It's that hike where it's mentioned in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah when they would notice the Molad, the new month, and light bonfires from one top of the mountain to another. You know what I'm talking about? In order to spread words, the Romans wouldn't get them. But how would they light the fires on top of the mountain if they weren't able to bring a torch up to the top of a Sartaba? Anyone know? There's a certain kind of rock that's found in Eretz Israel called Tsur, flint. Now flint, I looked it up. It's a sedimentary cryptocrystalline form of quartz. It's a mineral. And in this stone called flintstone, it's an amazing thing. You could take this stone, this flint, this tsur, and if you bang another rock against it, you do it strong enough, like a cave person, not a caveman. If you go like this enough times, what happens? You make fire. Because there's fire inside of that rock. It's a wild thing. In the Sartaba, it's on the surface. You can just walk up there and the kids take it out and you do it. So I took my kids and we went there and we did the whole thing. Explain Rabbi Yehuda Kahn, name the Alter Rebbe. Why is it that the Torah is making such a fuss? Why our text is making such emphasis, 8, 10, 12 psukim. The logistics, go on top of the mountain, I'm going to pass over, go inside the mountain, go on top of the tzur, then go inside the tzur. Alter Rebbe explains that the Ribbono Shel Olam is telling Moshe and us, here's what happened when you mess up. Here's what happens when you abrogate the covenant, when you really mess up. I mean, it was however bad we think of, it was really bad. The luchos were shattered. Shvasar Batamos, really bad. Here's how it goes. There's two types of ways that a Jew expresses their Yiddishkeit or their soul, our soul is expressed. Represented by two types of fire. There's a time where we're lit, where we're on fire. You heard that term before? What does it mean that a Jew's on fire? I'm into davening, I'm excited. I'm expressing myself. I want to go volunteer. I want to take on a new project. I go into the library. Go take a new Sefer. I download an app for a daily Tehillim from Rabbi Trump or something from a 10-minute Halacha. And that's it. I'm going to go to Sivan Rav Meir's Parsha Shir every week. The greatest teacher of Torah of our generation. There's no one who's teaching more Torah to more people in one shot than her. No one. Not Rav Weinberger, not Rabbi Jacobson, no Rosh Yeshiva. Nowhere. He's the greatest quantitative Marbitza Torah of the generation, male or female, period. I spoke in City Field yesterday. No one in my house could care less. I don't know, a little covered something. Give me, I don't know. Give it to me. They could care less. They heard Sivan Rahav Meir is there. Ooh. You get a selfie? I'm like, I'm going to take a selfie with married woman. I'm not going to take a selfie with you. That was exciting. That got me currency in my house. When we're on fire and like we're it's clicking, it's happening, you're into it, there's something happening, you're going for Shabbos somewhere good, you're a great shoot, just feeling great, there's a flow. We're on fire, there's something that's expressing itself. That the Alter Rebbe calls Esh Galuya, a fire that's revealed. It's just you feel it, it's tangible, it's there, it's happening. And then there are times where we feel just alienated and placeless. And I there's no way to express it. I don't like that. There's no one really to just like get together and like have a nice shal shudas with and sing. And if we do sing, they sing in the wrong songs. Or it's just not happening. There's just I got nowhere to be, and it's like chaval because Rosh Chodesh. Like let's do something, but everyone has midterms the next day, and it's just it doesn't go. And anyways, I'm not in the mood because it's winter time, and I haven't exercised in a week, and I have a big test, and I'm not in the mood, and my mother's in my case, and whatever. And it's just like this time of That the Alter Rebbe says, a Yid still has a soul. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. The candle of God is the soul of mankind. A Jew is always lit. There's always a fire there that's inside. We're alive. There's a godly soul. There's a divine breath. There's a spark. A Jew is alive. A Jew is always on fire. But that, sometimes that fire is not expressing itself outside. It's not manifest in Torah and mitzvos and chiyus and excitement. That's called an esh tmuna. That's tamun, a fire that's concealed beneath the surface inside. You need a certain environment for fire to thrive. Anybody ever do a alayesh in Israel? You know, you gotta make sure it has, like, it's dry, and that there's proper wood or fuel, something there, those little styrofoam cubes, or some lighter fluid, or some wood that hasn't been drenched. And you gotta give it, let it breathe. To make sure there's some rocks around it so that it can be contained, right? There needs to be some environmental aspect to enable, to cultivate a fire that's going to be expressed. And Esh Gluya needs a Beis Medrash, Baron Torah on campus, programming, a chevra, a place to go where there's going to be, once in a while, something geschmack. There has to be opportunities for that. But what happens when we're not in that place of external expression, and it's raining? It stinks when it's raining. You could say it in America, it stinks when it's raining. It's raining and you can't get the fire going because the wind is blowing, and like, oh, you don't have the right lighter fluid, and you can't find the match, and the fire can't express itself on the outside. That, the Alter Rebbe explains, is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, go on top of the Nikras HaTzur, go on top. Sometimes there's a revelation outside that the fire of a Jew's emunah, our Simchas HaChaim, is expressed outside, but that's not what happened at Chet HaEgel. You blew it. You messed up. You have to daven and do tshuva. But don't think that you're not still lit. Don't think we're not still connected. Go inside the Nikras HaTzur. Come down off the top and go inside the Nikras HaTzur. Because a tzur is a flint rock. That if you take that flint rock and throw it into the bottom of the ocean, and it sits there for 2,000 years, you could take it out from the bottom of the ocean or off the side of the Sartaba, and give it a little bit of a shifshuf, a little bit of this, just let it knock against each other, just shake it up a little bit, give it a little bit of friction, a little bit of attention, and before you know it, the fire comes out again. Hibitu al tsur chutzavtem. Look at the tsur, the flintstone from which we were hewn. That's what we are. Sometimes the fire is able to express itself on the outside, and sometimes it's not. Throughout the course of the year, there are times where we're up and there are times that we're down. There are times where we're proud of ourselves, where we feel like we met our expectations, where we exceeded expectations, where we brought nachas ruach to Hashem, and there are times where we feel we just blew it, where we failed. Because of laziness or because of something that wasn't even our fault. It just didn't happen. Didn't go. Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun, erech apayim v'chesed ha'emes. Says the Gemara, what's Hashem, Hashem, two times God? Ani Hashem kodem achet, ani Hashem achar achet. Hashem says, I'm the same. Our relationship has not changed. The way you feel about yourself changed. Adonai, kodem achet. Adonai, achar achet. El rachum v'chanun, erech apayim v'chesed ha'emes. Because a flint rock is a flint rock. A Jew is always on fire. A Jew is always lit up. Says Rabbeinu in Tinyana Nunvav, the 56th teaching in Tinyana, the second part of the Kutim Eran. Kishayesh ha'adam leiv, ein shayach etzlo makom klal. When a Jew is connected to the essence of their heart, there's no such thing as placelessness, feeling alienated, feeling lost. Ki avderaba. The opposite is true. When we have that feeling of being far, of being on the outs, of having failed, of having dropped the ball, avderaba. Hu mekomo shel olam. We're in God's world. We're in the world of the Ribono shel olam. We are alive means that God believes in us. Ki elukus hu b'lev. The highest expression of manifestation of godliness is in the heart of every one of us. Every heartbeat is an expression of emunah in us. Every heartbeat is HaKadosh Baruch Hu being poel in the world. As the pasuk says, Tzur levavi v'chelki la'olam. The Pasuk Rabbeinu uses to explain this, to prove this, is a Pasuk in Tilim Ayin Gimel. Tzur Levavi, that the rock of my heart, the Chelki La'olam, God is my portion forever. Our heart is compared to a stone. Sometimes we feel that means that we can't express ourselves. I have a lev ha'evin. I don't feel. I can't be moved. I'm not inspired. I just feel heavy, weighed down, covered up. Umal Hashem es levavcha ve'es levav zarecha. There is a time of year called Elul. 40 days. From Rosh Chodesh until Yom Kippur. Where we tap into that original experience of the abrogation of the covenant and failure to live up to the goals that were set by Hashem and our expectations for ourselves. The breaking of the Luchos on Shvasar Batamuz. When Hashem said, enough, chalas, I'm ready to get rid of these people. And then revealed the Yud Gilamita Sarachamim. And said, go on top of the rock and then go into the rock. And the way that we're able to do that is by opening our hearts. Hine makom iti. Your place is with me, Hashem says. Your place is with me. Acharachet. That's acharachet. Hine makom iti v'ish lo ya'alei mach. Come by yourself as you are and just be with me. Let's hit the reset button together. There's an esh tamuna. There's a fire that's concealed, that's beneath the surface always. Tasha Rebbe was a Hungarian tzaddik. It was a tremendous Baal Chesed and Oy Bisrael. My dear friend and teacher, Sirli Besser, Bisrael Besser, just put out a beautiful book. It happens to be a physically beautiful book. It's worthwhile to buy the book just to have it, so you can see the face of the Tasha Rebbe. It happens to be an extraordinary sefer. He suffered terribly in the war. He was orphaned. Suffered in the labor camps, and he survived completely alone. He was the epitome of placeless. I mean, he didn't have not anyone, not his friends, not his family, not his Beis Medrash, didn't have his world. He was a person of incredible avoda. His personal holiness was wild, unmatched. I saw him. One winter break, we drove up to Montreal, and we had a road trip out of it. We were going to go learn in Tush for the week. We ended up hanging out and visiting Tush Rebbe for a few minutes, but it was a great experience. He was in a DP camp in Edelsberg, Austria, after the war. It was run by the Joint Distribution Committee. And he got right to work, being Mechazik Jews, trying to breathe life into these Jews who had lost everything. And he wrote a letter to the people in the displaced persons camp, an Erev Rosh Hashanah in 1951. And he sent it out to a few of the close chassidim, close people who had gathered around him. Here's what the Tasha Rebbe wrote. The Heilige Bashefer, Bashefer is Yiddish for giver, for Hashem, for God. The Heilige Bashefer can do as he pleases and as he wants to help every Yiddish kind. There's nothing that God can't do. I promise you that I'll take you along with me into every Kapitel Tehillim. And with our davening, he will surely help us and bless us with a lichtig new year. Tyre Yidden, my good friends, I urge you to be strong, fortify yourselves to do a bit more. Daven that we be zochet to be good chassidim of the Bashefer. He's the compassionate, loving Father who can do anything, from small to big. Tyre Yidden, sweet Jews, be happy that we're Yidden. Just be happy that we're Jews. We're privileged to do his mitzvahs. After all these people had gone through, I mean, it's unimaginable. Bless you. It's indescribable. The alienation and the loss and the brokenness and the suffering. But after all is said and done, the Tosh Rebbe didn't have a very fancy message. Kept it very simple. Davin. Put yourself into every Kapitel Tehillim. Be fully there. Hashem can do anything. Hashem appreciates all of our efforts. and ask Hashem that we should be good chassidim of the Eibishter. There's an ish temuna, a concealed fire that's always in our hearts. And there's an ish galuya that expresses itself in our actions, in our deeds, when things are going well. We often feel like we're not doing enough. And we come back to the symbolism and the refrain of the pomegranate, or the rimon, throughout these days. We say, in Rosh Hashanah, we take from the simonim of the rimon, we say, we should have many zchuyotenu, we should have many zchuyot, the way the rimon has many seeds. And we repeat the Maamar Chazal, the Gemara, that Poshe Yisrael Malei Mitzvah Skarimon. Even Poshe Yisrael, even those who willingly violate the will of Hashem, are filled with mitzvos and zchuyot the way a pomegranate is filled with seeds. But Menachem Mendel from Vitebsk, the great Talmud of the Maggid of Mizrich, one of the founders of Chassidus in Eretz Yisrael, he moved from Ukraine to Eretz Yisrael 200 years ago. The Vitebsker in his Sefer Priya Aretz asks, if this Jew is filled with Torah and mitzvos, he's filled with zchuyot the way a pomegranate is filled with seeds, how could he possibly be a posheya? I mean, in the great spreadsheet in the sky, there's a lot of pluses in that column. There's a lot of seeds in the pomegranate, a lot of zchuyot. How could this person possibly be considered a posheya? How can they be considered an evildoer? Someone who's willingly going against the will of God. The account is full. Says the Vitebsker, if we just pay attention, if we just for a moment allow ourselves a little bit, if we forgive ourselves a little bit to consider all of the mitzvos and masim tovim that we have accumulated throughout the course of the year, every time we open the door for someone, every time we said a good word or acted respectfully toward our parents, every time you put a penny in a pushka, if you worked with kids during the summer or people with special needs, or you worked as a counselor in camp, as an advisor throughout the year with NCSY, every time you do for another Jew, another human being, dozens of mitzvahs asei d'oraisa, every movement, you cut food for another person, piles of pomegranate seeds, of mitzvos, masim tovim, of zchuyot. Every word of Tehillim, every word of Tefillah, every ratzon, the Kedusha, every desire that we had, even if it doesn't come to fruition. Masim tovim and zchuyot ad ein sof, says the Vitebsker. When we're not machshiv those, when we don't honor those experiences, when we don't honor those choices and those mitzvos, they just kind of fall on the floor and scatter like pomegranate seeds that fall off the counter. If we don't honor our accomplishments, if we're not machshiv our achievements, and instead only focus on what we didn't do, and what we're not doing, and where we fell short, so that's called being a poshe Yisrael that are malei in mitzvos karimah. One of the highlights of the Rosh Hashanah Davin is Le'el Orachtin. We say everyone gets serious during that time. Like people straighten out. People like get the posture. You see everybody like the posture changes, getting ready for Nisana Tokef. Mortality, it's right in front of our face. For some people it's Parnasa, some people it's this, it's that. You wake up and you get serious. Everyone gets straight during that time. Say Lebochein Livavos B'yom Din. You know this one? God who examines our hearts on the day of judgment. Legole Amukos Badin, and who reveals the depths on the day of judgment, and everybody's seized with terror, and it gets really intense, because we think when God is going to examine the heart, He's going to see all the bad thoughts and all the weird thoughts and all the machshava zaros and all the stuff that we fell short on and all my failings. And when He's gola amukos, when He digs deep beneath the internet history and beneath all those choices and all the laziness and all the bad words that pass through our heart and our head, and all the negativity and all the tzarasai and all the judgmental, this, that, and the other, oh boy, I'm in trouble, because He's going to reveal all the secrets. I have a public service announcement to make. It is not a secret that human beings are human beings. It's not a secret that we have weird thoughts. It's not a secret that we judge everybody. It's not a secret that we're catty and negative. and that we have all sorts of crazy things, men much more than women, but also, I live with a house full of women I know, and they're wonderful tzidkanios, the daughters of Kedoshe Elyon, and they're people. That's not the secret. That in our heart we have jealousy and competition, and we want kavod, and we hold grudges, and we get annoyed at our parents and our friends, and we say not nice things. That's not a secret. That's not the bochin levavot. Like, that's not being revealed when Hashem is revealing the depths and the secrets. That everybody knows. That's called the human condition. What's being revealed is how good we are beneath that. Is the Eish Temuna, is the fire that's inside there that maybe on the outside isn't expressing itself. That's what's coming out on Yom HaDin. And if only we were able to allow ourselves to see that. Sir Blavel Eger says, when we're doing this, clapping al chait, ay, 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 banging against our chests, as if we're beating ourselves, chas v'shalom, we're not. Sir Blavel Eger says, it's like we're performing CPR on ourselves. We're trying to awaken our hearts to remove the outer layer that looks like it's dormant and dead and disinterested. We're trying to just wake it up, to remind ourselves, I'm alive, I'm a Yid, there's a fire inside of me. I'm filled with Avas Hashem. I'm filled with Zchuyot. I'm filled with Mitzvos and Ma'asim Tovim. Yes, part of Cheshbon HaNefesh is to think about where I went wrong and where I fell short. A part of Cheshbon HaNefesh is to see what went right and where I'm doing good. That Lev Tahor Brali Elokim. One minute, 2 minutes. Heimish, 1 minute or more? Heimish, 1 minute. Okay, I'll leave you quick one. Remendel Futterfast. Remendel Futterfast. It's Remendel Mondays in Malasar. Remendel Futterfast. When he was a young man, there was a mashpia. There was an older guy in the yeshiva named Reb Chaim. One day, this Reb Chaim was an elderly man. Came in looking all bent out of shape. It was Slichas time. He said, "Reb Chaim, what's the matter? You look so down." Reb Chaim said, "No. And have to give din v'cheshvin soon. And have to count to give an accounting of my deeds." So Mendel looked at him and said, "I mean, okay, you're like this. You're the tzaddik of the yeshiva. You're an 80-year-old man who's in the yeshiva day and night. Like, what's going to be so bad? What could you possibly have done so bad?" He looked at him. He's like, "Okay. I mean, you lived a good life. I mean, you're an erlich hayid." And this Chaim looked at him and said, "Smach bachur b'yaldotecha, you immature child. You've no idea what life and mortality is." The Mendel said, "So please tell me." He had some stolz. This Reb Chaim said to him, "Let me tell you what my day is like. I wake up in the morning early, before dawn, and I say moda'ani with kavana, and I take that tzchus and I put it into a sack, and I wash negel vaser with kavana, and I take that tzchus and I put it into a bag, and then I get dressed erlich with my talis katan, and I say brachos in my house carefully every word, and I take that and I put it into the bag. And then I sit down and learn chassidus before I come to shul. And I take that Talmud Torah and I put it into the bag with me. And then I schlep that bag, so to speak, with me to the mikveh. And after I tovel, I take that tahara and I put it in the bag. And I schlep it with me to the yeshiva to daven. And I daven with the bachrim every day. And I daven krishna carefully. And I take all of that kavan and I put it in the bag. And then I sit afterwards and learn halacha. And I take that halacha seder and put it in the bag. And I wash the tefillah sedayim, erlich, like Shulchan Aruch says, pachachris. And I take that and I put it in the bag. And I bench carefully. And I take that and I put it in the bag." Mendel's like, "Sounds pretty good to me." And then morning seder, in the bag. 3 hours of learning, in the bag. And I go home, and I sit with my wife a few minutes, and we talk careful not to speak Lashon Hara, and I take that Shmiras HaLashon, and I put it in the bag. And I take that, I fulfilled my responsibilities, my ksuva, in the sack with me, and I schlep that with me. And I've been doing that every single day, for the past 56 years, 7 days a week, month after month after month, putting every schus into the bag, every mitzvah, every mas, every good action, every little coin into tzedakah. Every movement in the mikveh, every moment I'm careful with my davening, I take it, I put this chus into the bag. So Mendel looks at him and says, "Reb Chaim, I don't understand. You have chavilos, you have piles and mounds and mounds and mounds of mitzvahs, of bags of mitzvahs. What's the problem?" You see, Reb Chaim looked at me and said, "What good is it sitting in a sack? I want it to be inside my heart. These are days, tonight, is your opportunity from now, throughout the Yom Narayim, to open our hearts a little bit, to kind of pull back those lapels and say, hearts, 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 to awaken ourselves a little bit. What's good, the fire that's in there, to go into the Nikras Hatzur, to know that our place is with Hashem, that Hashem is always there with us. Before the Chait, after the Chait, it doesn't matter. Ribono Shel Olam is there with us all the time. We are expressing Hashem constantly. Tefillah is called Avoda Shebelev. It just requires a little bit of courage for us to believe in the good that we do, to believe in the rhythm of the ups and downs of life, to know that there's never a reason to feel alienated or far from Hashem. And that if Moshe Rabbeinu can represent us and give us a fresh start after Chayta and Gimel, with Yud Gimel Midas HaRachim and Mirtz Hashem, we'll be able to wake up the Avoda Shebelev tonight on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, and be zocha to a ksiva, a chesima tova, and a sweet year for all.